Is it being recorded right now?
The Mishnah is.
Oh my goodness.
In Megillah. Begin with some interesting.
I learned Megillah. I like to give my credentials.
So the first thing we encounter is that the Megillah can be read on several days, not just. Yeah, so we're not going to get to all the details, but one thing that I definitely think is worthwhile mentioning, something we discussed in Seder, which is, so what's the distinction between the days? So you have three types of cities, right? They have the kfarim, like the little villages, and for whatever reason that the Gemara deals with, they have a certain leniency that they're allowed to read the Megillah earlier than what we generally call Purim, which is definitely unusual, right? So we asked in Seder, what does that do to their Purim? What does that mean for Purim? Like, when do they dress up?
From the rest of Klal Yisrael.
Like, when do they dress up?
When? Or what do they dress up as?
Well, obviously, villagers. They dress up as non-villagers because...
As ogres.
When do they give Matanos Avionim? When do they have the Su'uda? In other words, is it that Mikra Megillah is earlier? Or is it that Purim is earlier?
Is it that they have to be earlier or that they could be earlier?
I think
also a good question.
And why would
but
they want
if they are being mapped, because it's more convenient, they, maybe Chazal wanted it to be that way, so they'll be able to supply all of the supplies for the cities, maybe they're the farmers, but be that as it may, that's the whole sugya and the Gemara, I want to know what it does to Purim, and why, like what's going on here?
The fact that there's 3 days?
The fact that they can go ahead, you're right, they have multiple days, but they're reading Megillah earlier than the rest of the quote-unquote world. You end up with 3 different types of cities. You end up with villages, and they're reading Megillah maybe even on the 11th. And then you have regular big cities that they have, you know, people that are a Balkore, whatever, there. They don't have to go searching for one or abandoning their city to go travel. So they read on regular Purim on Yudalit. And then what's the third one? Walled cities.
15th.
So question number one is, what's going on with these villages? What happens to their Purim? That's one. Number two. What's the story with the walled cities? Why do they have a different day?
Because Shushan was walled or something?
Because Shushan was walled, no?
Why do we go back to any cities that started with a shin?
Right, any city starts with a shin. Like, who cares that it was walled? And why should it be that any walled city or any other type of city gets a different Purim? Whatever, if it starts with a shin or whatever the rationale is going to be, why does it get a different Purim? There should be one Purim for Klal Yisrael. Why does Shushan have a different Purim?
Out of respect to, like, the walled cities in Israel.
Respect? Well, they're cities. They don't have feelings.
No. They're like Zephyr, like, to remember, like, the walled, like, in Jerusalem as well.
So, what Ophir is saying is that... Let's start a step back. Why is Shushan have a different day?
Because it's walled.
That's why it has a different day? Go back to the story. Let me go. What
they
happened?
They had to wait another day or something?
They fought an
they
extra
fought
day.
They fought another day.
They took Nekama from their enemies for an extra day, right? And they rested a day later than everybody else.
Right.
The celebration was a day later than everyone else. I don't know. What happened the next year? It was time to celebrate the anniversary of this whole Nahafochu. So that everyone else is partying on the day that they partied the year before. They didn't celebrate the day of the war. They celebrated the day of the celebration. Which is interesting. We spoke about Tanis Esther this morning.
Well, it's like, I mean, a lot of countries do that. Like, we celebrate July 4th, we don't celebrate the days of the Revolutionary War. We celebrate the days when we, like, one.
Okay.
I'm
not asking it as like a tremendous catch, but it's definitely worth noting that we're not celebrating the Nafohu of our defense of ourselves or our conquering of the enemy. We're celebrating the celebration. It's interesting. We could have celebrated the day that the decree went out, maybe. Then we didn't get it. You know, I don't know. But in any case, that's what we do. So Shushan did the day after when they celebrated the next year. They celebrated also a day later than everybody else?
Yeah.
Seemingly. Mm-hmm. So then we decided that we're going to have another day for other cities in Eretz Yisrael, as long as they're walled also. Because they're like Shushan.
Maybe we've forgotten Shushan.
Because we want to have a discrepancy in the observance of Purim.
Yes.
Clearly. We want to remember that it was like what historically happened.
Probably. That makes sense, right? We want to remember Shushan and that there was an extra day in Shushan.
I don't know why we necessarily need to remember that so much. Like, who cares?
Good question.
Let's say I totally forgot that. Like, I don't think it would really affect anything. But maybe there's something to be said about like historical accuracy.
You think that's all it is?
No. But maybe.
So okay, at least we're thinking. I like this. So we're maintaining the victory structure of Purim in the subsequent years by creating a Shushan Purim. Mm-hmm. Okay, that has nothing to do with the villages, of course, because the villages are earlier for practical reasons, it seems. Mm-hmm. But we want to maintain the victory structure. So,
I don't really understand if it's for practical reasons, why don't they go earlier for other holidays? Let them celebrate, like, Hanukkah, a little bit beforehand.
You're right, but that's the sugi. You have to see the sugi. It's a little complicated. Is it to allow them to provide for the big cities while we're doing it? Is it just a leniency for them? Is it a little of both? That's what the Gemara discusses. But, so here, so the Ophir, now back to what you were saying. So if we want to create this structure where we remember the victory of Purim, so we did it based on walled cities, which I can hear it. Shushan was apparently a walled city, so we want to make some kind of distinction. So maybe we could have picked they all start with Shin or something like that. But so we pick walled cities, so you'd expect that walled city means what? What's considered? What's the definition of a walled city?
From the time of Purim.
Why would you think Yeshua ben Nun?
I disagree with all of you. So we have Yeshua ben Nun. I don't know why you'd say that.
If it has
a wall.
From
the time of Achashverosh, or from the time of Purim, yeah. Which I don't agree with that. Wow. I think it should be walled cities!
Anything that has a wall.
Walled cities now! If it has a wall, so then it's a walled city. Reminds you of Shushan. If it doesn't have a wall, but it did at the time of Achashverosh or Yeshua. What was this?
Yeah, that's true.
If it has a wall now, if you build a wall tomorrow, it's a walled city. That's what I would have said. So what in the world are we doing? So instead of going back to Achashverosh, which again, I don't know why we would, we go to Yehoshua. I don't know why you go back to Yehoshua. So the Gemara says, Ophir, what you mean, right? That we want to give some kind of kavod to Eretz Yisrael. And since this whole nace happened way outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the celebration has nothing to do with anything else with Eretz Yisrael, so okay, we make it dependent on Yehoshua, who conquered Eretz Yisrael, more or less as we learned in Shoftim. Whether that was his fault or not, we'll go back to some things we mentioned in Shoftim. So there's another idea that's thrown around as well. What does Yehoshua have to do with Purim?
He was the last
great.
Like right before we got exiled.
How can we connect him to Purim?
Something about
he was the first to fight Amalek.
So even though it's time to shoot on, you go by Israel because
we covered Eretz Yisrael. That's what Gemara seems to say. Covered Eretz Yisrael. So I wanna spell it out a little bit differently.
So you want to argue with the Gemara?
He was like the last leader.
What does Yehoshua have to do with Purim?
What does Yehoshua have to do with Amalek?
Good. So that's Sam's pushing us in the direction, right? He knows where we're headed. So well, come on, flesh it out.
Just like Yehoshua fought Amalek, so to Purim, we beat Amalek. Thank you.
Yehoshua's relationship with Amalek is more than just he was the first one, no? You look at the psukim. What do the psukim say? In the B'Shalach, remember?
No.
That's when...
Oh, I did.
Yeah?
I
did. Oh.
Well, I just need to know when they went to war.
So who was chosen as the general, of course? Yehoshua.
I did the thing when they lifted their hands.
Yeah. V'yavo Amalek v'ilachem im Yisrael v'yomer Moshe el Yehoshua. So we're introduced to Yehoshua. Here. We don't know him before, right? B'charlanu anashim v'tzehi lachem ba'amalek v'yas Yehoshua kasher amar lo Moshe lihi lachem ba'amalek. He did. He was the general. And then when it's all finished, v'yachalosh Yehoshua You hear that? It's all attributed to Yehoshua. He's the leader. He's running this war. And it doesn't say Vayachalosh Yisrael es Amalek. It says Vayachalosh Yehoshua. It's interesting. It all goes back to Yehoshua. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe ksov zo zikaron v'sefer. Write this as a remembrance in a sefer. The Gemara discusses that as well. How many times are we allowed to have Amalek written down? Can we actually have a Megillas Esther? Is that legit? Can it be in Tanakh? Can we write it? Okay, hold on. V'simbo aznei Yehoshua. And this whole ksov zo zikaron v'sefer is supposed to be placed be'ozne Yehoshua, which is so interesting. Why Yehoshua? Because he's the one that's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. There's a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu here that he's not going to be the one to bring them in, and that's one of the three things we have to do when we get to Eretz Yisrael, is destroy Amalek. Fine, so what was your question? What does Haman have to do with Amalek?
Who says Haman is Amalek?
So what's the answer? He has a lineage that we're told.
All right.
So he's Haman Agagi. So he's the Agagite. So apparently that goes back to Agag. Who's Agag? Agag is the one that Shaul failed
to kill.
So if you go back to the other day, you'll remember Esther and the relationship with Shaul.
Why not Bimei Shmuel Anabi? Because he's the one who killed Agag.
Say again?
Why not Bimei Shmuel Anabi? Because he killed Agag.
So that's what I'm trying to say. I think if you develop this idea, if you work this out, it seems like Yehoshua and Amalek have a little bit more of a relationship than meets the eye. It seems that there's something rooted in Yehoshua, or he's the one that's Simba, it's Yehoshua, and Ve'achalosh Yehoshua, it's Amalek. It seems like there's something, there's something going on here.
Simba.
Anyway, that's definitely something to consider.
Why does it say that it should be in the ears of Yeshua?
The Pashup Shat, when you read the Pasuk on a very surface level, is that this was actually a remnant to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua is going to be the one to bring Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And it wasn't going to be Moshe Rabbeinu.
That's so like saying
that one of the three things that's critical to accomplishing get to Eretz Yisrael. One of the things, you have to make a melech, but lahachris arush al amalek. So destroying amalek was one of the things we needed to do when he got there to Israel. So that's like, the pashut
of Israel. Also, isn't it also interesting that, like, they didn't just try and kill Haman straight up because he was, like, amalek? Like, if let's say it would be clear that some individual in this world was from amalek, would we have to kill him?
You're saying they should have just risked everything?
Yeah.
And
maybe not, okay.
Rebuild it. Yeah. It's probably not your hard way
work.
Nah. Okay. But it definitely it's a big deal, but just can't risk the life. So quality soul for that one. So as we pointed out in Seder, so that the Mishnayos begin with when you read the Megillah, and then there's a little bit of a detour in the Mishnayos. What happens if there's a leap year?
Oh.
So when is Purim?
You get drunk for like a week.
When is Purim?
You read next time other bed.
So that's what the Mishnah writes. Ain vain other harishin la other harishini el kriyas hamagila umatonos la evyrin.
Oh,
didn't that happen last year?
I asked.
Like 2 years in a row.
Other bed.
Maybe it was like 5 years in a row. Holy dear.
So here you find the Mishnah mentioning one more mitzvah that it didn't mention until now. Mishnah has mentioned this idea. What?
Matanos
Levyon.
But nowhere in the Mishnah do you find any reference to the other two M's.
Misa Uda.
Mendelssohn.
No, Misa Uda and
Yishof Manos. So there's Megillah. There's Matanos Levyonim. There's Mishloach Manos and
Misuda.
And Mishta. Yeah, wait, the matzah. And some say
Something
went
else.
Before.
It's other
perp.
It's other.
Anybody
leaving soon?
Want to
get me a bottle of water?
So what do you see from this Mishnah also?
No.
This Mishnah also, you see something.
This year more than anybody else. So I want to enjoy hearing my voice more. The main thing we need to do is come up with an intriguing title for it. The Megillah. The story of the future.
Megillah's Lester.
That's copyrighted.
Why? I thought you knew.
That's copyrighted too.
Why? The law. Why the Megillah is a lie?
Okay.
That's something completely not true. Nothing related to the actual
shit.
So what do you think is the relationship between these four mitzvot hayom?
It's a positive relationship.
There's Megillah.
Yes. Which seems to be connected to Matanos.
Which seems to be connected to Matanos Lejonu. The Gemara says, those individuals that live in the villages, and they are,
Aniyam.
Be careful how you say this, they're observing Purim early, or
they're
hearing
Mikra
Megillah early. So the Gemara says it's only Mikra Megillah that's early. That's how the Mishnah begins. Megillah Nikreis. It's then, talking about the Megillah. But Matanos Levyonim ends up going along with that because the Aniyim, they hear the Megillah, and they anticipate that they're going to get their Matanos, and we don't want to let them down. So the Matanos Levyonim and Mikra Megillah seem to go together, although you have to figure out how coincidental that is. But Mishloach Manos and Seuda, which, by the way, are not mentioned in the Mishnah, is apparently perhaps also go together. So what's going on over here? That's what I want to know. What's happening to Purim? In the villages, we've split Purim in half. We've made Purim into the Mikra Megillah component, which apparently comes along with the Matanos Levyonim, and the what component? Can we spell this out?
The food component.
The food component.
I feel like it's just going to end up with us saying that we just do them all together on the day of reading, because...
No, that's what I'm saying. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says that the Megillah is read earlier, but the other two mitzvahs, the Mishteh, not the Mesuda, the Mishteh and the Mishloach Manos, so that happens at the proper time. Why?
Defying proper time.
And I don't know when they dress up. Is dressing up a din in Megillah? Or is it din in Seuda? What do you say?
Megillah.
For sure a din in Seuda. You should dress up for the Megillah reading.
No.
You should daven and dressed up.
Yeah.
No. Nah. Also din in Seuda. Okay, anyway, Simchas Purim.
To get the children to ask questions.
So.
Wrong day.
Let's try to work out a couple of details here. By the way, when Haman wants to destroy the Jewish people, there are several words used for annihilation. What words are used over there?
Arug.
Avad, Horig, there's something else.
So what are they? BK Shwa. Le.
Larog.
Lehash.
Lashmid.
Lashmid.
Laharog.
Ula
Abed. And Ushlalam. Shlalam. Love.
Let's
write it on the board. For those of you listening, I will articulate what's on the board.
That's oh. Thank you. Lahashmin. Laharog. What else?
Lahabin.
Lashalam.
Ushalam.
Ushalam.
So there are four words for the destruction Haman tried to cause.
Three of them have to do with some kind of death, it sounds like. Lahashmid, laharog, la'aveg.
But shlalam lavoz means what? What does that mean? What's shlal? Spoils of war. Lavoz.
Laboz?
Lavoz.
Hey.
I don't know you heard that.
I'm down.
No, booze is like burnt booze.
Yeah.
It's like Biza. Shlalam Navos, Biza. And to take the spoils.
What does that have to do with? Why?
Part of the way to deal with Bnei Israel was that we're going to take their stuff. No? What do you have to look for?
After three different words of killing.
Yeah. Apparently, that's part of the way to deal with it. That's what Haman said. It wasn't, oh, and, you know, just they'll happen to do it. That was part of what he wanted to accomplish. So how many mitzvahs hayom are there?
Four.
Do the four mitzvahs hayom correspond to the four things Haman tried to do?
Probably. How? Can't you say that? Well, Labid, maybe that's Mikra Megillah.
Let's spell it out like this. Out of these four terms, Shlolam Lavoz is certainly a physical type of thing.
Yeah.
To take this voice, it has to do with property.
Labid is spiritual.
So then.
And La'abed and La'ashmid are generally used as in some sort of like, almost like an abstraction to cause something to be lost. But you never say murder is not La'abed.
La'ashmid is to destroy.
Like Shmad.
Shema.
What do we say when we say what we use Shmad for? What do we talk about Shmad? Shasa Shmad.
Time of destruction.
But what type? It's like a religious persecution.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Shasa Shmad. So La'ashmid is like. A religious or even a spiritual type of annihilation. So, but laharog, hariga, sounds very much like killing.
Like physically.
Right.
Yes.
And la'abe then would mean what?
Also spiritual.
Would be lost.
So, not exactly sure on that.
It's related to lost.
Right. But their bodies are gone. And their religion is thereby destroyed. And all of their possessions
their
were
memory?
So what's left? What's La'abe?
Memory.
What?
Like the memory of
them? Perhaps even like the memory, they should be totally lost. So it's not a physical thing again. It's just that, you know.
Yeah,
it's their legacy.
Man,
good word.
Hope.
So of the mitzvahs hayom, that result, is there a way to see how they correspond to this?
What do you say? Who wants to try this out?
What?
Of the mitzvot that we have as a result of the
Right. Can't you say La'abed is
drinking is killing your body.
What?
Drinking is killing your body.
No.
Well, in other words, it could be that part of the celebration has a very physical element to it. So you could call that the Suda, right?
Okay.
We're calling it Mishnah because it's the four hands.
So say from
Megillah would be the Hashmid.
Because that's attacking the religion. So the response to the religion is to create this whole Megillah, a new mitzvah.
No pun intended.
A new mitzvah.
Well, they're all a mitzvah.
So what about Laharog and La'abe?
Laharog is Matanah.
No, Laharog would be
again, something that has to do with the body.
Yeah, so...
Mishloach Mano.
No, Mishloach Mano. That saves people from...
Yeah.
What? But if La'abed is to remove the memory of Klal Yisrael, so the refreshing the memory of Klal Yisrael, perhaps we could tie that into Matanos Lavyonim. You want to look at it the other way.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is that tied into...
I'm okay with that.
Interesting. We can take a look later and see if the Vilna Gaon agrees with the way we presented it or not. But he works with this type of idea. So, what you see on the board is that two of the issues and mitzvos of Purim have to do with, you know, physicality. And two of them are more, perhaps, spiritual in nature. Although, you know, we're tempted to say Mikra Megillah is one thing and the other three are something else. But the difference between Matanos La'Avyonim and Mishloach Manos is that one is the giving of money specifically, and the Mishloach Manos is the providing of food. So within those two, there is that difference. The money is the capability to do something, but it's not like you really have anything yet. And the Mishloach Manos are obviously perhaps even giving someone a Su'udas Purim. But it relates to the physical as opposed to something that's in potential more of spiritual in nature. So if two are going to go together and two are going to be distinct, which two go together and which two are going to be distinct? In other words, which two and two? How do you group these into two then? So now when Mikra Megillah goes along with Matanos Levyonim, so the Gemara says, because the Aniyam's eyes are raised, are lifted up, they anticipate when they hear Mikra Megillah. So I'm just saying, to give it a little bit more teeth, so you see that it makes sense to categorize them together as well. Which would then put Matanos Levyonim and Mikra Megillah on one side, and Mishloach Manos and Mishteh on the other side because it relates to the physicality. So, but again, what happens to the Purim of these villagers? Where is this? So the physical ends up in one day and the spiritual in a different day?
No.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but like it shouldn't.
In the Megillah itself, when the victory happens, and everyone, even in Shushan, they're celebrating. So this is in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yudayin. B'yom Shalosha Asar L'chodesh Adar. That's when they fought, except in Shushan they fought another day in addition, on Yadalib. V'noach v'arba asar bo, v'aso, so yom mishte v'simcha. They made it a day of mishta and simcha. What's another way to say that?
Day of mix-ups.
That they partied. In other words, that they had mishta v'simcha.
You guys want to go mishta v'simcha later?
It's sunny, it's funny, right? Yeah. It's not a day of mishta v'simcha. It's a v'asu, mishta.
They made a mishta.
V'hayolahem simcha. What it means there's a day of mishta v'simcha?
Meaning it was like supposed to be commemorating something. It wasn't just like the party itself. It was the
day takes on some kind of nature of, it's a day of mishta v'simcha.
Right.
It's not just that on that day you have to have a sa'uda. It's like, you know, on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, you have to have a sa'uda. Is it a day of sa'uda? No, it's no yom mishta. So it's interesting. So by the way, so now Purim is a day of what? Is it a day of Mikra Megillah?
No.
So what's the day?
It's
a day of Mishta V'Simcha. So the villagers who are reading Megillah early
are not doing the Simcha. Yeah.
It's not a
when
day.
Do they have it?
After.
On that
they have
day.
To, because it's the Yom Mishta V'Simcha. So there's the split. So we allow them to read it earlier because the idea of the Pirsume Nisa, an idea of what the Megillah is supposed to accomplish, so that can be done apparently earlier. And then you have to figure out the Matanos Avyonim goes along with it. That's apparently not a din in Mishta V'Simcha as much or something.
It is.
Apparently not. But the Mishta V'Simcha demands that on Purim itself, that they have the Seuda and they have the Mishloach Manos, because that's part and parcel of a Yom Mishta V'Simcha. Now, interesting. Was there Matanos Avyonim the first year of Purim?
No.
Are you familiar with this?
I wouldn't think there was.
Why?
I don't know. Because
wasn't there a Pasuk?
Yeah, Matanos Avyonim. I mean, that's that day more than the other day.
But we're just acknowledging the fact that there are other people in this world who can't be the Simcha because they don't have the proper
means.
Financial means.
Financials.
To be the Simcha. So by giving Matanos Avyonim, We're letting everyone. We're letting every single Jew.
Exactly. So listen to this. This is awesome. Rav Kahn likes to say this when it comes to Purim. He says like this. In Pasuk Yidches, again in Perek Tes, the end of the Megillah, by Yehudim Asher B'Shushan, so they had this extra day, right? And they made it a day of Mishta V'Simcha. Pasuk Yidches. Al Kain, therefore, HaYehudim HaPrazim HaYoshvim Ba'ari HaPrazos. So the Jews that live in the non-walled cities, Osim Yom Arba Asar L'Chodesh Adar, they do the 14th. What do they do on the day? Are you ready? Listen carefully. Simcha u'mishte v'yom tov. They make it a day of Simcha, Mishte, and Yom Tov. U'mishloch manos ish l'rayehu. What's missing?
Megillah.
Okay, Megillah is fair enough. And there's no Matanos Avyonim.
In the Megillah.
Yeah.
And there's no Matanos Avyonim listed here because you'll see in a minute, it is listed later. So that's what they did. It says. This is. What happens next? V'yichtov Mordechai Sedvarim Ha'ileh. He wrote these things down. And he sent Sfarim to all of the Yehudim, b'chol medinos ha-melech ha-chashverosh, near and far. L'kayim alayim lios osim es yom arbo asar l'chodesh adar. So they would observe the 14th and the 15th every single year. Just like kayomim asher nachu behem ha-yehudim yoyveyem. V'achodesh asher nepach lehem yagon l'simcha. The chodesh that was changed from yagon to simcha. You hear that? Mishenichnas Adar. What do you mean? But it's not Purim yet. The chodesh, interesting. The chodesh was nepach miyagon le simcha. What?
Describes.
I mean, I think it was attributed to Esther. It was Mordechai and Esther were Nevi'im, so they put it all together.
Isn't that like a whole concept of like, I remember reading something like that, like, all the Chagim were technically, like, after they happened, they were Bato, but Purim as a Chag was a Bato, which I don't understand.
Purim or Megillah, okay. We should track down the Chazal, see what exactly it was. So the Pasuk here says that when Mordechai sent out these Svarim to all of the Yidden, so the instructions were that it should be a month that's the month that was switched to happiness. What are they supposed to do? Lasos osam yemei mishta v'simcha. Again, the same lashon we saw before. Days of mishta and simcha. U'mishloach manos ish l'reyehu u'matanos. So Rav Katan likes to ask, how come the first year they didn't have matanos avyonim?
Because there weren't any avyonim. They were all avyonim.
Okay, either way, right? Because there weren't any avyonim. Everyone was ish l'reyehu. Whenever there's a tremendous threat, Rachmana Litzlan, of annihilation against the Yidden, there's no such thing as an Evyo. There's no poor guy on the street that's like a lower level, a lower class. So the first year, when everyone had such Achdos, there was no such thing as Evyonim. But subsequent years, things go back to normal. And now suddenly there are Matanos to Evyonim. So that's interesting. But that's, okay, so that's the source. Already in the Megillah, you find already all these mitzvos, you find... Yeah. So the Rambam follows the Mishnayos, you know. So he starts off with Megillah. Megillah, Megillah, Megillah. But wait a minute. But in the Megillah, we saw Matanos Avyonim. You don't find Mishteh. And you don't find what? Mishloach Manos. You find Matanos Avyonim and Megillah, and that's it. So the Rambam, when he's done with Megillah, so he says, these 2 days, Yadalad and Tesvav, there's no such thing as eulogies or fasting. And then he says in Yadalad, Perek Beis, Halach Yadalad, Mitzvahs Yom Yadalad, Ibn Kfarim Vayaros, Yom Tesvav, Ibn Kerachim. What are they supposed to be? Li Yosan Yom Simcha Umishte Umishloach Manos Lereim Umatanos Le'evyon. It's interesting the way he says it. It's a day of Simcha and Mishte, and Mishloach Manos Reim Matanos Avyonim. Mutar Basias Malacha, but it's not Ro'ui to do Malacha, and Chachamim told us whoever, you know, works, whoever does Malacha on Purim, won't see Bracha from what he does on that day. B'nei Kvarim, to those people that live in the villages, B'karu B'shenu B'chamishi, the way the Rambam writes it, if they gave their matanos le'evyonim on the day that they read the Megillah, which is earlier, they're yotze. In other words, is it the best? Is it they're yotze. Avo hasimcha ve'hamishte ein osin osam ela b'yom yudalid. Right, like we said, they have to observe the yom mishte v'simcha on that day. They're totally not Yotze if they did it on a different day. Usudas Purim Sha'asa Balaila. What about Yimei Mishta? Does it start at night? Lo Yotze Yedecho Vasa. You're not Yotze with the Suda then. I mean, you can't have Suda. There is an Indian to be Marbe with Suda. But nonetheless, the Rambam writes, you're not Yotze the Mishta of Purim that way. Ketzad Chovas Suda Zu. What exactly is the obligation of this meal, this seuda, this mishteh? Sheyochal basar, meat, v'zakin seuda noe kefi asher timsa yado, and make it as beautiful as you can. V'shose yayin ad sheyishdaker, drink wine until he gets drunk, v'yiradim v'shichruso, and he falls asleep in his drunkenness. So there are those who want to say that the Rama meant you drink and then you go to sleep, but it doesn't sound like what the Rambam is saying. V'chein chayav adam lishloach shtei manos, basar, two portions of meat, o shtei minei tavshil, or two types of cooked dishes, o shtei minei ochlen, or two foods, l'chaveiro, to his friend. It's interesting. The Rambam started off with Ketan Chovas Seuda Zu. And he tells you about the Seuda. And then he goes straight into Manos L'Reyeyu. They're related. They go together. Is it that you're actually giving him a Seuda? Okay, maybe not necessarily, but they're related. You know, the more people you're sending it to, so the better. If he doesn't have anything to eat, or he doesn't have anything to give, he switches with his friends. One sends the su'uda to one guy, and the other exchanges and gives his su'uda to the other guy. That's what the Rambam is, but it goes with the other one. So, in any case, what did you see? So let's just sum up what we did. So we started with the Mishnayos, and we saw in the three categories. There's the Yudal guys, there are the Tesvav guys. We dealt with the Tesvav guys, and so what's going on with the Tesvav guys? Why are they reading on a different day? So we said, well, really, we wanted to remember the victory of Shushan being distinct. But how are we going to do that Bizman Azeh? Are there Jews still in Shushan? Is there Shushan anymore? We should have done just walled cities, if that's the good distinction, it's recognizable. But for some reason, we didn't do that. We made it based on Yehoshua, but knowing why in the world would we do that? So, more to talk about, but perhaps it's because of Yehoshua's connection to Milchemes HaMalek. Okay, so that accounts for that distinction. And what about the villagers? So, for practical reasons, they were allowed and encouraged to go ahead and read Megillah earlier. But that's when we started dealing with what's going on here. What's happening to Purim when you split it like that? So that's what I tried to develop. So in the four things that Haman tried to do to us, already you find that there are two that are more quote-unquote spiritual in nature. Although one might argue that Matanos Avionim isn't really necessarily spiritual. You're just providing with further well-being. But still, it's in potential. It's in money. It's not a food form. But nonetheless, so those two go together, and the Rambam says certainly one is Yotzei if he gives the Matanos Le'evyonim on the time of Mikra Megillah. But that can be done earlier. That's the Pirsumei Nisa. That's to express the Nes. But there's a Yom Mishta V'Simcha. The Yom Mishta V'Simcha expresses itself with Mishta and with Simcha. So the Mishta is the Seuda, and part and parcel of the Simcha, although it also relates to Mishta. But part of the Simcha and Mishta is the Reus, is creating that friendship amongst Klal Yisrael to try and get back to the friendship that was at the time of Purim. As I pointed out, Rav Kahn likes to say that the first year after Purim, there was no Matanos Avyonim, because it weren't Avyonim. That was the Achdus that existed at the time. So in subsequent years, that was part of the way to fulfill it and to create the Simcha and the Reus, was to include the Aniyim within it. But then you end up with that quasi, you know, it's related perhaps to the Megillah for whatever practical reason. But nonetheless, the Yom Mishta V'Simcha demands of us that we have a day that has a certain quality. And because of that, it's not possible to push those villagers all the way to the Yom HaKnisa. To push them all the way to the Yom HaKnisa and say, that's your Purim, that we can't do. Because the Yom Mishta V'Simcha on Yudalit, or for the walled cities, on Tesvav.